You're listening to the Well One Healthy Lifestyle Podcast, and I'm your host, Michelle Broad, certified women's health, adult nurse practitioner, and hormone specialist. In a world, ladies, where as professional women, we're often juggling multiple responsibilities, from demanding careers to family obligations, it's easy to put our health on the back burner. But here's the truth, you are your own best advocate when it comes to your well-being. So each week on this podcast, we'll explore topics that matter most to you, from managing a chronic condition, seeking preventative care, or simply striving for balance in your busy life. This podcast is your go-to resource. So join us each week if you're ready to take control of your health and become your number one self-care advocate. And today, ladies, I have a special treat for you because I'm trying a little bit different approach here on the podcast. And what it is I'm trying to do interviews with women who are in our community and have made a significant like health shift or have faced, you know, an illness where they've had to change their health and different things like that. So today I am so excited and I hope that you'll put your hands together for me because it was such a blessing to sit down with Evelyn and hear her story and talk with her. But first, let me introduce you a little bit to her before we get into the podcast. Evelyn Johnson, she is the founder of the Joy's Circle to Coach. She encourages and she empowers individuals to believe in their true given talents and gifts. And yes, she does. She loves to teach others to tap into their purpose, to bring their dreams and desires to full manifestation biblically. Evelyn is a stroke survivor, and after losing the feeling in her left arm, Evelyn kept asking God, while going through the stroke, that God spares her voice while she was in the emergency room. Thank God, Evelyn's prayers were answered. She has been using her voice ever since to encourage Bible teachers, motivational people, empowerment, and leadership. Evelyn knew that her voice was her gift. So after suffering a stroke, it empowered her to share and become an advocate by sharing her story with Opportunity Allows. Evelyn also encourages people to monitor their blood pressure daily and to be more alert of their food intake. She has learned from this ordeal to never take life for granted and to learn to live life more on purpose. So let me tell you something. We had a fabulous, fabulous talk, okay? And she talked all about her stroke, about what happened before her stroke. She talked about her journey of recovery from the stroke. She talked about what specific lifestyle changes she's implemented post-stroke to prioritize her health more. She also talked about significant challenges and obstacles that she's had to overcome with regard to that. And then we discussed, you know, how she believes that that experience has influenced her approach to preventive healthcare and how come she's advocating for stroke in her community. So she gave us some great insights and advice for y'all who may be going through similar health challenges or who are just aiming to adopt a healthier lifestyle. It was a great podcast. We did talk about stroke. We did talk about God. So, you know, if you're not a you don't want to hear about God in this episode, hey, you can just kind of tune out that part or fast forward. But I really think that this episode has something in it for everybody because it shows who she is as a person, okay? So it's real people who've had to deal with real situations and who've changed their life because of certain situations, how they're getting healthier each day, one day at a time. So put your hands together for me and let's give a warm welcome and listen to Miss Evelyn Johnson. All right, ladies. And tonight we have Evelyn Johnson, as I was talking to you before in the intro, and I'm really excited, Evelyn. I'm so happy that we finally, after several attempts, we finally got to connect today. So thank you for being on the show and I appreciate it immensely.
Thank you for the opportunity and I'm so glad we connected. And one of the things I told you that I think we're going to be friends for a long time because the connection.
Yes. And then just so that everybody knows, Evelyn and I met, we're in a group called Behind Her Brand with another girlfriend of ours, Kimberly Dispenser Shield. And it's a women's business group. And we go in there, we talk about different businesses and Evelyn has a business and I have a business. So we kind of connected in there. So it's a great thing. And like I said, at the beginning of in the intro, we are bringing on women from our community in the Well Woman Network community, you know, and wanting to talk to them who've had, you know, health challenges, who've overcome health challenges and how they're doing it, just so that we can kind of bring, you know, an awareness that, you know, opening up conversations. So we're number one, we're not alone. And number two, so that we also can feel like maybe someone else can give us some advice that they did that can help us get over something, you know, as well. And then we wanted to highlight some of the women in our community who are doing really great things with their health and just moving it forward in everyday measures, so that you all know that it's not just me sitting out here telling you what to do, but you can hear from these other beautiful ladies and their journeys and what they're doing, and you know, and how we're all on this journey together. So tonight we're going to talk about Evelyn's story. And so Evelyn, just introduce yourself a little bit. Tell us a little bit about, you know, about your health condition, you know, and then I've got some questions that I want to ask you, and we'll kind of dive right into it.
Okay. I am Evelyn Johnson. I was born and raised in Oklahoma City, and I currently reside in a place called Anna, Texas, in about 30 miles north of Dallas, with my husband. And I have one son, which is 35 years old, and I am an author. I co-authored two books for the organization Behind Her Brand, and just things happen, and having a stroke activated some things. So and I'll talk about that as well. So, but yeah. I have lived in Texas for about 20 plus years now, and love it.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. We lived in California for 30 years until we moved out here to Colorado. So right. Just new transplants. So kind of loving it too. Okay. So first question I want to dive into is, I want you to share your journey of recovering from the stroke, and how has it changed or shaped your perspective on, you know, on health and wellness. So maybe like, tell us a little bit, you know, what was your health before you had the stroke, you know, and then you had the stroke, and is things afterwards, have they changed, like health-wise, have you, you know, those kind of things?
Yes. I had my stroke in 2018. Prior to 2018, I was really concentrating on getting healthy. I was obese, declared as obese. So I started working on that. I started walking, you know, you have the general, I'm going to do my exercises and all of that, but I fell off. But I did start concentrating on eating better. And, you know, I went to YouTube to find anything that I could eat that was, you know, for my body, vegetables and different things like that. So I started probably in the latter part of 2017, I started, you know, eating more vegetables, which I love bread and potatoes. And so I knew those things, they're good, but I had to really concentrate on getting my health in order. And, you know, I suffered with high blood pressure. I don't say suffer with it, but I was declared to be have hypertension. And I don't believe I was borderline. I may have been borderline diabetes, but I'm keeping that pretty low, which I'm thankful. But I was declared probably years ago, maybe about 35 years old, is when I was diagnosed with hypertension. And I know when I was pregnant, a lot of things go haywire, but that was one of the things that kicked off, was the hypertension. And then when I had my child, it kind of like subsided, it went away. And then over time, I kept getting my physicals, and then my doctor sat down with me and say, you have a sign of hypertension and we want to get it under control. And I, you know, I really didn't think anything about it, and I wish I had, but I was young and I didn't know how serious it was or could be. And so, but I maintained taking my medicine and eating, trying to eat properly, but did not. But over time, I guess around January, and it was coming into the new year, and I was making changes all in my life as far as going back to school, doing things prior to my stroke happening. So by January, I was writing up my New Year's resolution. Oh, this is going to be a great year for me. This is my year, and all of these things. And when January rolled around, you know, things were going great. And then by January the 22nd, I was at work. And that's when I was having a stroke. I had just went to the restroom, and I looked down on my shoulder and I saw a wet spot. I was like, where'd that come from? And I wiped at it. And then I looked down on the floor and I saw another wet spot. I'm like, is this roof leaking? And then I just went over to the sink to wash my hands, and I looked in the mirror and I literally said, I'm having a stroke.
Okay.
I haven't been around anybody that had a stroke. I've heard of people that had strokes, but I have never been personally around anyone that had a stroke or knew the signs of a stroke or anything like that. And as I turned around to go out, I tried to reach for the handle on the door with my left hand, and I couldn't open it for some reason. And then I started panicking, and I hit the light switch and cut it off. And I started panicking again. And so something just spoke to me, said, stop, reach over with your right hand and let yourself out of the restroom. And as I reached over with my right hand, I was coming out of the restroom, and my mind was just talking to me and telling me all the things to do. And I really didn't know what was going on, because I was talking to the mind. I said, okay, how am I going to tell my boss that something is happening? How am I going to tell her? And not knowing that if I could really actually verbally put it in words, I think that was the thing that was going on after I realized I'm having a stroke. And it seemed like the mind just took over, and it was telling me, go back to your office, sit down, write a note. So I sat down, and it was like, whatever it was telling me to do, I was obeying my mind. And it told me to write, call 911. I'm not feeling well. And my boss was over at the coffee maker, and I immediately turned around because she was going to lunch, and I held up the sign, and she said, what? She thought I was playing, because I'm a little comical at times too. So she said, what? Oh my God. And that's what she did. And she immediately called 911, and the ambulance service, the firefighters, they all came, and the first responders, they were just wonderful. And when they put me in the ambulance, I don't know, my mind was doing a whole lot of things and talking out and all of these things. And I said, oh God, I've always wanted to ride in an ambulance. I remember saying that. And I don't know why I was saying those things. Yeah. And they were asking me all the different things. What's your name? What year it was and all of that, who the president and all of those things. But I was talking. It seemed like my stroke caused me to talk a lot for some odd reason. And I was just talking. I said, oh, I've never been in an ambulance. I want to do this. And I like to go to this particular hospital. I was telling the first responder, I want to go to this particular hospital. And he said, oh, no, Miss Evelyn, we're going to take you to the hospital close to the company. So I said, okay, that's fine. And we went on to the hospital, and they put me in the room waiting on the doctor. And when the doctor came in, I was, you know, they diagnosed me that I was in the middle of having a stroke. And as my husband was arriving and my son and some other people from my church, I was just constantly talking. And as I was talking, my face had started twisting and being distorted looking. And each time I would talk, they had to wipe my side of the face because I was having the saliva coming out as I talked. It was like I couldn't shut up. And then as I laid there, I was looking on the side, on the left side of me, and my husband asked me, he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm looking for my arm. I think it fell off. And I was just like, he said, no, babe, your arm is still on your body. And I said, well, really? And so he had to take my hand, my right hand, to reach over to make to let me know that my arm was still there. But it was so strange because I just heard this sound like a pop, and I thought it just disjointed and fell off. Hey. And so he said, no, it's still there. I guarantee you it's still there. And I didn't have any movement. I couldn't raise it. I couldn't do anything. It just felt like it was disjointed and somewhere else. And as I laid there talking, I know one thing in my mind, I kept saying, please, God, don't take my voice. I hope I can say God on here. If that's okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. I said, please, God, don't take my voice. Whatever you do, don't take my voice. I said, you can have anything on me, but don't take my voice. Keep the arm, but don't take my voice. And so they administered this medicine that possibly if it didn't work, it was going to cause bleeding in my head. But apparently it worked because I'm here to talk about the story tonight. And then they just took me in and admitted me into the hospital immediately. And I tell you, I was so shocked that I was having a stroke. And even and what shocked me is that when I stood in that mirror, I told myself, I am having a stroke. And I don't know, it just like the voice inside of me came outwardly to let me know what was going on. And that was the most amazing thing for me. And I've talked to several different people after I've had my stroke that had strokes themselves, and everyone has a different story. Yeah. And so that is one of the things that amazed me about strokes, because they come in so many different fashions. I call them different levels, level 10, yeah. 5, whatever. And so that was the most amazing thing to me, that I was talking so much. And I'm normally a quiet person at times, but it was just like I could not stop. And I don't know if that was because of the stroke that was causing that to happen, but it was like I just could not stop. And in my mind, I kept saying, please don't take my voice. Please don't take my voice. Because sometimes that's the first thing that goes in some people. So,
That was great that at least you had the awareness, because a lot of times when people have strokes, they drop to the floor.
Yes.
They can't even function to get to, turning off the light or turning on the light or getting out of the bathroom. So, and it sounds like, you started having the stroke in the bathroom, but more of it happened when you were at the hospital, when you lost the arm and stuff like that. So that's a good thing that you got there and, absolutely. And high blood pressure, cholesterol, all those things can lead to it, if those are things that people have too. So it's all about different, like you said, everybody's experience is different. I know with my mom, she's 92 and she's had like several TIAs. And TIAs, are smaller versions, not like that. But and the mind does funky things,
it does.
Kind of talk to her and, she's just doing her own thing and I'm trying to tell her, I'm glad that you came out of that too. So
yes. And it really caused me, what it really did for me, it caused me to think about the things that I had put on my list to do, my to-do list, my vision list, my goal list. And I never really activated on those things. I either started them, stopped those things. And while I was going through the recuperation stage, that's when I really started thinking about, okay, this is a close call. So what are you planning to do once you recover? What are your plans? Because like I said, coming into 2018, I was excited. I was like, this is my year. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But that little interruption, I think, was a pause for me to get myself together.
Yes.
And then I had more of a guilt trip because my mother, I had visited her the day before I had my stroke. She was in the hospital with colon cancer and congestive heart failure. So I felt guilty because I'm laid up in the hospital. I can't go back to tend to my mother. It's 8 of us, 8 children. So there was plenty to tend to my mother, but I wanted to be one of those that was part of getting her well. Yeah. And it really played a guilt trip on me. Here, you're sick. If you had just taken care of yourself, you could probably be up there in Oklahoma City with your mom. And so I had to not allow that to sink in after having a stroke, because you do have those regretful moments. Well, if I had done this, and you start thinking, well, did I eat the wrong thing that caused my blood pressure to shoot out the sky? Why didn't I monitor? All those questions started coming up. Why didn't I monitor my blood pressure daily? And all those things, which I did try to do more of that before I had my stroke, but it's all those different questions that came along, the guilt that came along with high blood pressure, because sometimes it can be crippling. And I know some friends, that recently had a stroke, which was very crippling to this individual. And now he's in the recovery stage and he had to learn how to walk all over again. So thankfully, I didn't have to walk all over again, but I had to have therapy for my arm because I had to, you know, do things to bring the feeling back. And eventually came back. And I have remnants that I know of, that I see in my face. Nobody else would. And I never point them out because I, but it caused me to think more about life. I mean, it changed me for, it changed my whole insight on how in the way I wanted to live after the stroke.
Yes.
After my recovery, I really, really honed in on creating my vision boards. I've always heard people talk about create your vision and do a vision board. So I started working on a vision board, and everything that I put on that vision board pretty much manifested itself. And when I, of course, going through the stroke, it just caused me to think more, okay, how are we going to start eating after this stroke?
Right.
So after I recovered, there's this gentleman that I attend church with, and he has a fitness. He is a personal fitness person. And he at my job, they had this 90-day fitness challenge. And after I returned back to work, I think it was probably around March, April, I believe, sometime around that time, that I was well enough to go back to work. And I was on the edge when I returned back to work, because it's like, you know, when you done hurt something, I felt like my body was injured, everything recovered. The speech therapist said, I can't believe how well you're speaking from day one, but I remember just constantly talking. So maybe that triggered something in the mind. And what I had asked, please don't take my voice, because I think I needed my voice to speak out and be an advocate for people that, you know, deal with high blood pressure. And so the physical trainer offered a 90-day program when I went back, and I was really frightened to really assert myself. Because I'm not really out of the woods. And I always kept saying, I'm not really out of the woods. Should I be taking on exercising? But I did get it approved by my doctor. And I was the one that won overall. It was a group of us. And I challenged myself. I was frightened, but I challenged myself that I can do this. I need to do this to better my body, to better, just to give it more strength. Because it having a stroke, it takes a toll.
Yeah.
And so I had, you know, sometime when I would stand up, I was weak when I stood up. But after going through that fitness challenge for 90 days, I think it was 90 days, it helped build my strength back up. It helped build my confidence back up. It helped taking away the fear of having another stroke. Because when you had one, they said, you may have some more. And so that was self-consciously in my mind. I don't want to have another stroke. I don't want to do anything to trigger it either. If I exercise, that's going to trigger it. But I knew I need to exercise. So it caused me to change and go into a new direction of my life. And in that year, it was such a trying year. And as I told you, that my mother was in the hospital sick. Well, I was able to go back to take care of her, and nobody had told her that I'd had a stroke. And when I visited her the day before I had my stroke, and she found out because I finally told her, she said, I knew something was wrong because you look different.
Yeah.
So she saw it. She saw it on me. She saw that something was different about me that day, but I didn't see it. I didn't feel it. And so and it's odd that it may give you signs, but we don't pay attention to the sign.
Yeah. There was like the things that you said, there's a couple things I want to point out too. So first of all, you said you someday. Okay. Yeah. And I say that, and I even have it on my website. I tell people, you know, everybody says, oh, I'll take care of it and I'll get to it tomorrow, or I'll get to it, you know, when I finish this or when I get this completed. But you keep doing those, and like, and John, I love John Maxwell, and he says someday is no day. That's exactly what he says, because you need to start today. And I love that, you know, you talked about, you know, that guilt that you felt like, okay, did I do something? Because with all illnesses, I've talked to several people, like one of my dear friends, this is like yesterday was her, I think it was her 1 year or 2 year anniversary that she passed away from breast cancer.
Wow.
And she was like the healthiest woman around, you know, but after she got her breast cancer, you know, she was like, okay, well, you know, what did I do? You know, what did my body, how did I fail myself? You know, we tend to kind of go there, you know, what I mean? and blame ourselves for those type of things. And then, you know, you look, oh, well, if I only had done this, you know, if I had only done that, you kind of look back, hindsight is 20/20, they say. So, you know, which is really good. So I tell people, you know, it doesn't matter where you are today, start. Right. You know, don't keep putting it off. And especially like you said, you know, we're busy women. You know, we do things in our community, we're there for our family, we're taking care of loved ones. I'm taking care of my mom, you know, but you got to make it a priority, because if you don't take care of you, you're not going to be able to do all those other things, like you said.
So true. You know?
So my next thing that I wanted to ask you is, okay, so you talked about, you did the 90 day challenge with the gentleman. So after that, what specific lifestyle changes, you know, have you implemented, you know, after that, during that challenge, and then after that challenge, you know, that, you know, that has helped you to prioritize your health, and have you been able to like maintain that? And what have you done to change your daily routine around all of that?
I didn't try to be too strict in how I maintain my eating habits. I kind of gradually went into looking at natural foods and organic things, because, you know, I cut back. The number one thing that I did do, I cut back on eating the canned goods, because they were so high in sodium.
Yeah.
And my doctor told me that my percentage of sodium that I should look for, that I can get away with, that's in a can possibly, is 4 to 5%. I should look for, I started reading labels more. I didn't pay attention to labels before. So I still have difficulty reading some of them, but I started reading labels. And the first thing I look for is the sodium content. Yeah. What is the sodium intake in the products that I have? And I did move away from eating canned goods a lot, and started eating more fresher foods like frozen vegetables and things like that, because their sodium count was 0%.
Yep.
They didn't have anything in it. I love seasoned foods. And when I started eating vegetables that were frozen, it was like, oh, this doesn't taste good. So I had to learn how to eat more garlic and how to, you know, use, what's it, Dash? Mrs. Yes, Dash?
Mrs. Dash.
Yeah. I had to learn how to utilize Mrs. Dash. And then I started using more garlic powder. And I still cheat a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I still do my little garlic salt for certain things.
Yeah.
That I have to have a taste of some type of seasoning, but I am good at the table salt. I didn't have a problem getting rid of the table salt. I adjusted my table salt. I mean, not my table salt, but I adjusted my salt that I use to Himalayan salt.
Yep.
And just things that I could, you know, because Himalayan to me, it doesn't really have a salty taste. And I just use a little bit. It satisfies what I need to do and eat properly. But I just started cutting things back. I didn't drastically cut back, because, you know, sometimes when you drastically cut back, it's like you're depriving yourself from the things that you really enjoyed. So I just started managing my food intake better. And I started eating. And then I had my son in the house. He was, you know, on this juice thing. And I didn't really think about juicing much. And he would say, hey, mom, I made you some juice. So I started juicing. He'll bring me a big, we were working from home at that time. So he'll bring me a big jar of juice to drink, a green drink or green juice
Yep.
and apples and oh my gosh, I don't know, celery that he combined together with lemons and all of that. So I just really started taking in the healthy things that I knew that was better for my heart, my body, and everything. So,
Definitely.
and yeah, so that's what I started doing. I started cutting out the things that had high salt intake, and just started eating more fish, foods such as salmon and things like that. And they have a little content of salt too, but it wasn't as bad as what I was taking in. And I love. My downfall is potato chips. That is the worst love that I could have. So I had to learn. I got an air fryer. So if I want potato chips, I make them myself. And yeah. And so just cutting back those things that I don't necessarily need. And then if I do crave a chip, I bought this. They have these, what is it, seafood chips at Trader Joe's. And we're not getting played by Trader Joe's, but anyway, Trader Joe's has seaweed that I love, and it's so thin, and when I bite into it, it crunches like a chip, and I think it's the sound of the potato chips that I love. Plus the saltiness of potato chips. So I've switched eating too many potato chips to eating seafood. And the calorie intake is so low and it's I think it's zero sodium. So the calorie takes, I think the calorie intake was like 70 and the sodium intake was 0% compared to my other chips that I love to eat.
Cool.
So
So,
I learned to cut back.
yeah, and I love that you said, you didn't deprive yourself. Small,
Yes.
simple changes led the way, and all of that kind of stuff. You added juicing in, which was fantastic from your son. So you learned how to adopt a different lifestyle too. So, for whatever reason, it's telling me that our time is only, we only have 8 minutes. I don't know why I pay for this account, but it's going to cut me off, and I just want to get through to everything that we're going to talk about too. So I want to talk about, okay, so I'm going to skip to this one. I want to really talk about this one. Okay. So we talked about your experience and how your experience with stroke has changed things. Okay. Because you're now more aware, you pay attention, you've changed your lifestyle that way. But could you offer, like, to the listeners some insight or advice for individuals who may be going through a similar situation or challenge and, and how to aim and how to help them adopt a healthier lifestyle after maybe they have a medical setback or a stroke?
Yes, there's a lot of individuals that I know. I lost one friend the same week that I had my stroke. She immediately died, and I believe that's what her situation was, a massive stroke. And then the following week after I had my stroke, I had another friend that had a stroke. So we would talk to each other. The one that survived, I talked to her and asked her how she was doing. And she said she was doing fine. And she did the same as far as adjusting what she ate and all those different things. But I encourage anyone, number one, but go out and buy a blood pressure machine and monitor your pressure every day as much as possible, 3 times a day. I was told after that I take my blood pressure medicine to check my blood pressure 3 hours after my intake of my blood pressure medicine. So that to me is the best time to see if it's really working, if your medicine is working for you. There's so many different blood pressure medicines. And sometimes they don't work. And you, if they're not working, get with your physician and let them know the symptoms that you're having. Because some I had would swell my ankles. And I'm like, I didn't have swelling ankles before I started taking this medicine. So let's see what we can get different. Just monitor what you're taking in your body. And, as soon as you take your blood pressure medicine, I always have, it's a check that I do. I don't know. It's a body check. I don't know. I just wait to see what is it going to do after 3 hours. Am I feeling dizzy? Sometimes they will make you feel dizzy. Does it make me real sleepy? And I've had some that made me so sleepy. I told my doctor, I said, I can't do this. So it's feasible to please stay in contact with your doctor and take your blood pressure every day. And I have one of those little health things in my phone where when I take my blood pressure, I could send that information off to my doctor before I go in for visits. So if you have that or don't have that, it's good to just keep track of your blood pressure daily. Once you eat and different things like that, the blood pressure starts fluctuating. Yeah. And so it will go up high and you may not even know it. You may be feeling great and your blood pressure is over the top. Yeah. So that's why it's always advisable to check your blood pressure daily. You know, do it like people take, do piano lessons. You practice makes perfect.
So, I got you. I got you there. Yep. Yes. So, I know, friend. Okay. So I just want to give, before we wrap up here too, I just want to talk about the signs of stroke so people know. Okay. So, and these are just the ones that you can, you know, that you're going to find the common one. But like Evelyn said, everybody has different signs and symptoms. And mm-hmm. for women, signs of stroke are different than how they are for men. So you have to kind of understand and really be aware and pay attention to your body. But number one is sudden numbness or weakness. Okay. Typically on one side of the body, trouble speaking, like Evelyn said, you know, or drooling, or you start having visual problems. You have blurred vision. You can get severe headaches. You can get dizziness. Sometimes there is a loss of consciousness. And sometimes there's also difficulty with walking. And then they want you to, there's the acronym called FAST, which yes. is face drooping, arm weakness, speech difficulty, and it's time to call the emergency like Evelyn did. I have to commend you though, that you had the whereabouts and the faculty at that time to go to your desk, write a note and say, call 911 and hold it up for your boss. Yes. You know, that is fabulous. So I just think that's great. And then I just want to tell you too, that you look fantastic.
Thank you. You
look fabulous. And I, you know, I'm so proud of you and just, you know, when people just take control of their health yes. and they do something about it, because there's a lot of people who mm-hmm. suffer strokes or who yes. have high blood pressure or who have diabetes or they have things and then they come out of them and they just don't do anything afterwards. They're like, okay, well, I'm just stuck and I'm never going to even help myself. So mm-hmm. I always love stories that, you know, where people help themselves to get better. So yeah. I thank you so much. Now tell them where they can find you too, because, you know, I want people to be able to connect with you in these last few minutes so that they can connect. And if they want to ask you questions, sure. they can do that as well.
Yes. You can reach me on my website at joyscircle.com. And I have a contact page and you could just email, put your information in the contact section of my website. And I will reach out to you. Just call me if you need me to be on your platform talking about strokes. And one thing I want to mention too as well, make a daily routine about walking. Walking is the best exercise ever. I love nature.
Me too.
I love nature. I have a gym membership, but I very seldom like to go into the gym. I love walking. So schedule at least 2 to 3 times a day during the week and always check with your doctor to make sure that you are, you know, you're qualified to do all those things. So, but yes, walk. I love it. And I have lost weight. I've toned. I looked at another picture yesterday, as a matter of fact, and I was just blown away how I have lost weight. And so, and just detoxing and drinking plenty of water. And I believe that's really, that's giving me the glow. I drink
got the glow, all right.
I love water. So drink plenty of water and also consult with your doctor, because some people, you know, can't take in all the water, but I love water. So I just do as much as I can.
Yes. So she said, walk, get yes. out of your body, mm-hmm. exercise, drink the water, like we talk about, de-stress, yes. you know, we pray, find your spiritualness, you know, do good sleep, you know, mm-hmm. and enjoy life, you know, and yes. really listen to your bodies, ladies, just like she listened to hers. Listen to your body because it does talk to you. And yes. there are signs, and we talked about this before, there's lots of signs before there's disease. There's symptoms before there's disease. So you got to recognize these. And that's why we talked to you about being your number one self-care hero, listening and taking care of your body. So Evelyn, thank you. Gosh, I'm so happy that we finally connected. Thank you for being here. People connect with her. And until next week, ladies, like I always say, may God richly bless your life, and bye for now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.